6, chapter 2, Revelation. Verse 6. All right, we start off this letter to the church at Ephesus that they received in around 96 or so A.D. And it starts with commendation, condemnation, and back to commendation. Further commendation, verse 7. Yet this you do have. You got this on the right side of things. Yet, particle duh, this pronoun, this you do have. That's the verb to have, echo. You do have that you hate. Present indicative, the verb meseo means to hate something. You hate the deeds, plural ergon, of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Which I also hate. Point one. Following the serious rebuke for failure with its dire threat, Christ returns to commendation. Commendation where commendation is due. When the Lord critiques churches or individuals, he is just as quick to point out the bad as he is the good. It's a part of a report. And a good report covers everything and doesn't sweep things under the carpet. The bad things, that is. Too often people tend to focus on the bad at the expense of the good, thus failing to keep a balanced perspective. You listening to me? A balanced perspective with regard to others and situations. While maintaining theological orthodoxy, the Ephesians lost their way by failing to pursue the text of Scripture with their earlier vigor. That's my conclusion. This was also accompanied by a general malaise in their approach to application. 6. It seems that the primary culprit in this corporate behavior was the pastor-teacher. 7. It was his responsibility to teach book by book and verse by verse. The spiritual leader of a local church must have faith that everything in Scripture is indeed profitable and needs to have its place given time and opportunity and so forth. 9. His responsibility is to break new ground instead of being content to teach those subjects and books that are familiar. 10. This failure impacts on believers who, while remaining orthodox, are not challenged by doctrine as presented in less popular books of the canon. The early Ephesians, and for some time afterwards, possessed a high level of zeal for the realm of truth. Their enthusiasm had waned, and the way back was to shake off the lethargy and press on with verse-by-verse study of doctrine. 13, commends them for hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You get thumbs up for this one. You hate something. You hate the works or the deeds or the activities of a group called the Nicolaitans. This sect is rather enigmatic. It's hard to pinpoint everything about its origins and its doctrines, but we'll try. There is a strand of historical tradition that suggests that the sect was founded by Nicholas of Alexandria, one of the original seven deacons, Acts 6:5. But the church father Polycarp seems to deny this. 7. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. His dates, 30 to 107 A.D. He was much engaged in combating the Gnostic sects during his ministry. 20. These sects arose during the second half of the first century. In one of his letters, he says, "Flee also the Nicolaitans, falsely so called, who are lovers of pleasure and given to this is wordy speeches, stirring people up. Somebody sent me an example of a minister in a foreign country in garb, and it was a show, and he had things screwed up and had things right, and this was all this. Okay. So the implication to this point, on point 22 here, is that the Nicolaitans assumed a counterfeit identity, using the name of Nicholas of Antioch. The church father Irenaeus, 120 AD, condemned them. Well, they're still around? Condemned them. Indicating that they were to be traced to one Simon Magus of Acts 8, 9 and following, and one Meander. That's the threads of evidence we have. Simon Magus was, before his conversion, he was a famous magician. He was known all over the place. He converted to Christianity and walked away from his black arts. But he came to the Apostle Peter and he wanted to give money and buy an apostleship status. Yeah, that you could buy, that you could be an apostle if you put down enough cash. The mentality of some people. So he had a big power and approbation trend that he wanted to be in the same league with the apostles. Instead of being content to function under his gift and serve God in whatever capacity. You can read about him there. And he also has the same name, you know. So I'm going to learn a whole lot about history in phase three. What did he do when he got shut down by the Apostle Peter? Oh, he pulled in his horns and did right. I don't think so. That's not the nature of those types. They still got to find a way, an angle. And I think I've heard it reported that he went to Rome. And this was the early beginnings of what we call today the papacy. He didn't just want to be an apostle. He wants to be over everything. Possibly. Don't quote me on that. Other writers condemn them as well. These are just a list. Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Victorinus, Apocalypse, Eusebius, writing centuries later, identifying them, classifying them as Gnostics. This sect seems to have introduced a false system of hierarchy into the Christian community. There is, the only system of hierarchy is the local church with a singular pastor and a board of deacons. That's your hierarchy. And then the general membership of the local church. The reason we have membership here is for our protection. So a bunch of people can't come in here and take over the church. You have to subscribe read it and subscribe to the Constitution. There's one thing in that Constitution that's wrong, but I'm not pushing for it to be changed. It says it takes 75% of the people to vote the existing pastor out. I don't think they can do that biblically. If he's not doing his job, God will get him out of there. Feet first. So I don't see that as appropriate, but that's okay. They advocated a false distinction between the so-called clergy and the laity, rank and file believers. Just like you have, well, here we have it. This distinction is especially prominent in the Roman Catholic system. popes, cardinals, bishops, archbishops, blah, 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 all the way down to priests and the rest of it. It's a hierarchical system, and it's all made up by men and entrenched. This distinction is especially prominent in Roman Catholic system, as well as the Greek and Russian Orthodox traditions. But it exists also in certain Protestant groups, more of the high church like the Anglican and so forth. They're not content with the simplicity of the way it's set up by the Lord. The early church, you had apostles, and under them you had churches that they founded and individuals that were pastors of those individual congregations. Then when that layer was taken out with the last living apostle, it's just pastor, teacher, local church, boom. No organization except Christ above your head. I've emphasized that. That was one of the things that was the super appeal to me when I first heard sound doctrine. I was taught that it's right pastor, right congregation for life, and all the rest of this, forget it. So I was really happy that I wasn't going to have to spend my adult life moving from one place to the next, uprooting my family and dealing with another group of STAs. And when they got tired of me, they'll trade in their car just like a person does. This eventually evolved into a pseudo-false priesthood that contradicts the doctrine of the universal priesthood of the New Testament. Oh, they just threw that one out too. You are as much a believer priest as I am. I just have a different gift. Unless you have the gift of pastor teacher. Along with this pseudo-hierarchy, they compromised with paganism in order to gain converts. Everything. So much that's in a system that's so elaborate, like Catholicism, so much of it is just offshoots of ancient paganism. It's a mother-son cult. Okay, it takes Mary and Jesus' name instead of the ancient names. Dresses it all up, puts it out there with a high priest or a pope. This is just like the old systems. All the garb, all the elaborate stuff. Did you see the one where Trump did an AI thing and sent it out of him dressed up as a pope? Things are just too crazy. I'm just like, God, get us out of here. This is just nuts. Some people are in for a fall. That's why I do not put my trust in men. They know how to say the right thing. Even do the right thing. Suck everyone in. Keep going. They know how to push the buttons of the conservatives and the fundamentalists and the rest of them. And they don't have enough doctrine to come in out of the rain. They can praise Jesus and they'll walk around. Go to the Pope's funeral? Really? Find another real bad guy out there. I'm going to go to his funeral? I don't think so. I know where he's at now, more than likely. He's with the rest of the popes. Because you can't be out there teaching their doctrines of demons. You can't be doing that and be anywhere close to true Christianity. And it's going to be taken down. As they've done in history, they're going to go down violently. At the hands of a Satanist, the Antichrist. Revelation 17. I'll find me a fundamentalist pastor teacher in a pulpit. I don't mean a guy wrote a book. I got a book out there called Two Babylons, where the guy pieces together the fact that the ancient Babylonian systems of the mother-son cult that spread to all the nations, and you can name the top, you can take name the top deities. I've done it with the female one, Ishtar, Babylonian, and what her name is in Egypt and Greece and so forth and so forth and so on. He has two Babylons, and he says the Roman Catholic system is just a reincarnation of the ancient system to keep it alive. With all of its, all the garbage that you got, all the hoops you got to run through to be a good Catholic. Articular confession. That wasn't new with them. They did it in the ancient world, that you went to some person and confessed so they get dirt on people for the rulers. Because it was called articular confession. You just don't go in there and say, I sinned. You got to give them the gory details. So much for rebound. All this stuff. You can't know in this lifetime if you're even going to go to heaven. I don't know if they still believe in purgatory. And if the Pope gets up and says this is a doctrine, it's ex cathedra, and it becomes the truth that they did over the centuries. Inventors of evil. Just get up and, okay, this is the way it is now. Because the Pope said it, because he sat up on an elaborate chair with this thing in his hand and this headgear and all that mess. Is that anywhere in the New Testament? They have a doctrine. I forgot the name of it. That they use to justify all this. And they did it in the Greek and the Russian Orthodox churches. You go in there and ask them, what do I have to do to go to heaven? They're not going to give you John 3:16. No. And then you can't know till you die, and people are praying for the dead, lighting candles. I've been in one of those churches a time or two. I saw all that over there. I was in one up in New York City. Not because I was going there, because I thought it was good. I just was curious about some stuff. Ugh. See statues of Mary. They're throwing kisses at it. Whoa. In their history, they declared her divine. No justification. So I guess we got four members of the Godhead now. So Gnosticism is a system, Gnostic, knowledge, places a superior value on esoteric wisdom as over against clear affirmations of Scripture. The Gnostic philosophy embraced both extravagance, the two extremes. Depends on the Gnostic you are following. And I the stuff bored me. I didn't spend a lot of time looking and studying it, but they emphasize both extremes as okay. Liberalism and all of its manifestations. And legalism. And these leavens have infiltrated a lot of organizations, churches and so forth. I was in a highly legalistic church. Very legalistic. But I didn't have enough doctrine to challenge it. And if I had it wouldn't have done me any good. They were locked into legalism. Grace was just a word. Pretty much. Today we see these extremes. And the RCC. It's not a cola. It's the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, that they don't sell that one anymore, do they? Royal Crown Cola. It sponsors societies of extreme self-denial, asceticism, extreme. I mean, they have these in their organization, as well as great pomp and wealth. Well, the Antichrist is going to plunder those Catholic churches in Europe. And he's going to come out with a hoard of gold that they've squirreled away down there all these centuries. See? All of the aforementioned, including ecumenicalism, elitism, etc., had its embryonic roots in the sects like the Nicolaitans arising in the apostolic era. All this stuff started cranking up. All these people with these aspirations and wanting to do this. The New Testament teaching of Christ and the apostles directs leaders and their disciples not to emulate these pretensions. Don't be like them. And there's citations here, scriptural citations in that regard. The Ephesian church is commended for resisting this sect. I guess they come knocking on their door and wanting to have a part in there. Whoa! You're what? And what are you advocating? Hit the road. You're not welcome here. Peddling that mess. So they're commended here for resisting this sect and their pernicious practices. Their hate, they hated this. It was like someone says, there's certain food or item, oh, I hate that. Okay, you know what hate is, don't you? There's good hate and there's bad hate. This is good hate. When you hate, and it says here the deeds of the Nicolaitans, their works, their activities, we hate that. We'd like people to get their act together, and God loves the whole world, yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you blow off his plan, you're not going to experience his love. You're going to experience his wrath. So, it's not wrong to hate certain things. You got to. Their hate was Christ's hate. This sect is also mentioned in connection with the church at Pergamum, as this leaven had established itself among some of the churches. Revelation 2:15. Okay, I only got about 6 minutes before half past, I mean. So I'm going to shut it down and we'll pick up this verse Tuesday. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.